Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. The Seed Christian Fellowship meets at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the corner of Baseline and Hellman. We would love for you to come and join us on Sunday mornings, but if you can't, you can always join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. If you missed the live stream, you can always go to our YouTube channel at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We've been talking about the book of Acts. Today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. It's a long reading, but before we go to there, I would like for us to turn to Isaiah 53. It's always good to read the Old Testament and the New Testament, put them together, and see what God has to say to us. Let us pray before we go to God's Word. God of all grace and mercy, show us your miracles. Create a miracle in us right now. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive. Let our eyes see your miracle each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. If you don't have a Bible, I would gladly mail you a Bible, and you could start writing in it, using it. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I love to put God's word in your hand. Isaiah 53, 1 through 6. Who has believed what we have heard? Isn't that a great line? I go through the Bible and read these little lines, and I go, wow, what was the prophet thinking? Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hid their faces, he was despised, and we held no account of him. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Wow. Today, we turn our attention to the third chapter of the book of Acts, or as some call it, the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ through God's people. In our reading today, we will hear and enter into an experience of the book of Acts, the works of the Holy Spirit in the life of God's people. Let us listen for God's word in Acts chapter 3, 1 through 26. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for some alms. That's like, he's begging. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And the man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have him murdered, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of you." That's verse 16 of Acts chapter 3, 3:16. You know, we talk about John 3:16. Think of Acts 3:16. Peter says, "And by faith in Jesus' name, his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." Verse 17, "And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what had been foretold through the prophet that his Messiah would suffer." Verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins would be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long before his holy prophets. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you from among your own people a prophet like you. You must listen to whatever he tells you, and it will be that everyone who does not listen to the prophet will be utterly rooted out of the people. And all the prophets, as many as I have spoken from Samuel and those after him, also predicted these days. You are the descendants of the prophets, and all of the covenant that God gave to your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And in your descendants all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Wow. A lot of stuff in there. A lot of great theology in there. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay became the first people to ascend the 29,035-foot peak of Mount Everest. They were not the last. In 1990, Nepal lifted its once tight restrictions on climbing the legendary mountain in order to boost tourist dollars. As of 2006, more than 2,700 people have reached the summit of the world's tallest mountain, many paying over $60,000 for the experience. Well, yeah, I don't know if you're doing math, but that's $162 million. One result of this commercial influx has been the erosion of the traditional moral code of mountaineering. In the rush to the top, amateurs who have paid a fortune for bragging rights, they'll do anything it takes to get to the summit, including abandoning other climbers on the way. David Sharp became a casualty of this modern mentality in March of 2006. The 34-year-old engineer from Cleveland managed to reach the summit on his own. However, he ran out of oxygen on the way back down, 984 feet from the top. As he lay dying, 40 climbers passed him by, too eager to achieve their own goals to take a chance of using up their oxygen on someone else. As a result, David Sharp froze to death. According to Ed Visteris, who has scaled up to 14 of the world's 8,000-meter peaks. Sharp's death is not unique. Passing people who are dying is not uncommon. Unfortunately, there are those who say, it's not my problem. I spent all this money, and I'm going to the summit. This attitude has produced disgust in many and climbers, including Sir Edmund Hillary. He wrote, on my expedition, he said, there was no way you'd have left a man under a rock to die. Well, you know, all week, as I've been working on this message, I've been thinking about one thing. One thing I would like to leave with you today. My mind has raced over this text every day as I've read it over and over again. This passage, as I mentioned earlier, is rich with ideas and themes and words that we could spend hours, days, and weeks on. Well, but we really only have a few minutes as we prepare our hearts to receive what God has to say for us. We could talk about the miracle, the message, the mission of this passage. Or our focus could turn our attention to the sweet hour of prayer or the names of Christ from suffering servant to Prince of Life. Lastly, we could look at Peter's second powerful sermon that calls us to repentance and forgiveness of sins as we hear God's kingdom will come when the Messiah returns and the blessing is given. What I would really like for each of us to do today is enter into this story. Let us think about the beggar. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's you. We've been being carried to the beautiful gate, laid by the beautiful gate, begging for some alms. Maybe that's who we are. I'd like for us to imagine the scene, the hour, the one day, as our scripture teaches us. You know, I'm asking you to do one thing, the one day. Luke tells us, imagine seeing the same beggar at the gate called Beautiful. What a paradox. A beggar born crippled from birth, being carried day after day to the temple to beg for a mere, meager, petty, paltry, eked-out existence at the temple gate called Beautiful. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I'm asking you to enter into the story in Acts chapter 3, and we're just going to look at the beggar today. Day after day, he's brought to the temple. What strikes me is the beggar at the beautiful gate. It's not a B&B, bed and breakfast, folks. It's a beggar at the beautiful gate. The gate called Beautiful was located inside the Temple Mount area, and it separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of the women. Like the other gates, it was large and ornate. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, it was made of Corinthian brass, and it was so large that it took 20 men to close the gate. Enter into the story. This is a beautiful gate. Did you know that the American Puritans were very hardworking, but they were not capitalists in the modern sense? They placed common welfare ahead of the self-interest or the idea of profit-making. Can you imagine that picture today in our modern today's market? Unemployment was virtually non-existent in New England during the era of the Puritans. Did you hear me? Unemployment was non-existent during those days. A visitor from abroad testified, in 7 years, I never saw a beggar. How many beggars have you seen? How do you feel when you see a beggar? Have you ever considered yourself a beggar? According to Scripture, we are all in need of saving. Scripture says no one is righteous, no, not one. As the prophet Isaiah said so powerfully in our passage that I read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Guess what? In no other, it's just so simple. What he's saying is, We're all beggars. I've had the opportunity to work with the homeless here in Los Angeles. On Saturday mornings, my wife and I would go down to the Brothers of Charity and make lunches out of old bread donated by area grocery stores. On the happiest of days, we made ham and bologna sandwiches, but most often we just made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. A faithful group of 25 people, adults and children, showed up each Saturday. Many of us drove an hour to get there. After the sandwiches were made, we'd break up into small teams. Some would go out in the parks. Others would go to the bridges, and the largest group would walk along the alleyways. What an eye-opening experience. The homeless people were blessed to receive the food, whatever it was. We'd go and play with soccer with the kids, talk with the adults, and share God's love with them. Every homeless person echoed the same response wherever we went. God bless you. In a cup of coffee at the Soul Cafe, Leonard Sweet tells the story of making a film by the two Londoners. In 1971, they began to film Street People. The film captured the daily rituals of the homeless, their trials and joys. Some were drunk, others mentally disturbed. Some were articulate and others unintelligible. One of England's leading composers, Gavin Bryars, agreed to help with the audio aspects of the film. During his work, he became aware of a constant undercurrent of sound that appeared whenever one certain homeless man was filmed. At first, the sound seemed like muttered gibberish, but after removing the background noise, Bryars discovered that the old man was singing. Bryars learned that this beggar did not drink or socialize with others. The old man was alone, filthy, homeless, but he also had a sunny demeanor. What distinguished him from the others was this quiet singing. For hours upon hours, he would sing the same thing over and over and over again. The man's weak voice was untrained, but it never wavered from the pitch. He repeated the same simple phrase of the song over and over again. One day at the office of Gavin Bryars, the composer looped together the first 13 bars of the homeless man's song. He was preparing to add orchestration to the piece. He left the loop running while he went downstairs for a cup of coffee. When he returned, he found his fellow worker listening in subdued silence, and a few were even weeping. The old man's quiet, trembling voice had leaked from the recording room and transformed the office floor. Here is what the beggar was singing. Jesus's blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for he loves me so. Can you imagine this homeless beggar singing this chorus over and over again? Jesus' blood never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. Jesus' blood never failed me yet. There's one thing I know, for God loves me so. Though not a Christian, Bryars created and produced an accompaniment to this homeless person's song of trust. The result was a CD, okay, entitled Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet. The old homeless person man died before he ever even heard it. It has been said that as Christians, we are beggars, showing other beggars where to find bread. This really is the so what question for us today. What is our resurrection response? Week after week after week, I'm asking you, what is your resurrection response? Is our resurrection the response of being a beggar showing other beggars where to find bread? Is it telling others that Jesus' blood will never fail us? Is it proclaiming that there is one thing that we know, that God loves us so? As we are listening to this message, some of us may be sitting in a beautiful sanctuary. Some of us may be sitting in our car. Some of us may be working. Some of us may be at home. Some of us may be in prison. I would like for us to enter in today's story about a beggar's response. I would encourage each of us to go back and read this story again this week, Acts chapter 3. In fact, try reading this story every day for a week. Oh, now you're stepping on our toes, Pastor. You're asking me to read the Word? Yeah. Read one passage every day for a week. See what the Holy Spirit will say to you. See what the Holy Spirit will put in your heart. Can you imagine this happening every day? You see, that's what the beggar was experiencing every day. He was brought by his friends, carried by his friends to the gate called Beautiful. Can you imagine your sanctuary doors of the church being called the Beautiful Gate? Because that's really what it was. Think if some of you are church-going people, some of you may not be church-going people, some of you have beautiful churches, some of you have home churches, whatever you have, think of someone bringing a beggar every day to your door and leaving him there. Maybe next Sunday when you go to church, look around. Day after day, month after month, year after year, this beggar had one existence, begging. Now, Peter and John came into this imaginary scene. They're going to church, you understand. They're going to church. It's the hour of prayer. That's what we're told. Can you imagine this happening at your 8:30 service or 9 o'clock service or 11 o'clock service? The beggar is now a man, and this man has been lame from birth. Figure that this guy's at least 20 years old. So for 20 years, maybe you've been going to the same church and you've parked in the same spot in the same parking lot. And maybe we've tossed a few coins in the offering. What have you been doing for 20 years? This beggar has been shuffled over to the gate called Beautiful and left there. But yet he runs into the impossible. It's a miracle. And Peter says, coins I don't have. Gold and silver I don't have. But one thing I do have, I give you Jesus. And he takes his hand and his legs are healed. He's walking and jumping and praising God. He's walking and jumping and he's praising God. Peter and John had no money, no silver and gold. All they had was the power of the Holy Spirit. Their resurrection response was simple. It was sharing their faith in Christ with a poor beggar. Can you imagine how they felt when they saw this beggar guy stand up, take a few wobbly steps, and then start break dancing right in front of them? Here's your so what for today. Every day we come in contact with other beggars. Every day we pass by the Beautiful Gate. Every day those beggars are there. We were once beggars ourselves, and someone showed us where and how to find the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Friends, that's what church really is, one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Let us pray. Lord God, we just give thanks that you heal us, and you make us whole. Lord, take what we've been given, so that we can give it to others to make them whole and complete in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.